This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Purcell. Well, German immigration in the 19th century had a great effect on the city of Cincinnati. So did Irish immigration. In the studio to look at Cincinnati's Irish heritage today are Maureen Kennedy, founder and director of the Irish Heritage Center of Greater Cincinnati, the center's co-director, Kent Covey, and Kevin Grace, author of Irish Cincinnati, part of the Images of America series from Arcadia Publishing. Hello and welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I wanted to begin with you, Kevin, and your book, Irish Cincinnati. Share a little history about Irish immigration to Cincinnati, because you write in the introduction to your book that, well, the Irish were here in Cincinnati when the city was founded back in 1790.
The Irish were here before the Germans.
Aha!
They came here as early as 1788 when an Irishman by name of Kennedy came and established a ferry across the river. And Kennedy Heights is actually named for his ancestors. The earliest school teacher in Cincinnati was Irish. So there's a very long heritage here. And surprisingly enough, most people think of Irish in America as Irish Catholics. But the earliest settlers in this part of the state were actually Quakers or Methodists. So the Irish Catholics came along a few decades later. But the Irish in general were here very early.
It was fascinating, and it's been fascinating as I reacquainted myself with your book to see all the Irish influence in Cincinnati that we run into every day and don't realize it. Coleraine, for one, James Gamble of P&G, the Pogue brothers, among others. What are some other Irish influences in town that folks would recognize?
Oh, gosh. Well, a lot of the early breweries were actually Irish before they became German. You have Mitchell Avenue. Mm-hmm. Another one. A lot of streets named after the Irish. But I think most importantly is you have this long tradition of the Irish here in Cincinnati staying reconnected with Ireland. And that's pretty much what Kent and Maureen do these days, is keep all our Irish heritage in check and bring it all together to celebrate the heritage.
What was the most surprising thing that you discovered when you were writing Irish Cincinnati? When, you know, obviously you had a love for the city and a love for the people, but what did surprise you in your research?
I think the thing that surprised me the most was discovering that after the Civil War, many of the Irish who fought for the Union, particularly here in Cincinnati, were in on the effort to invade Canada. With the hopes that the British would be distracted from what the problems they were causing in Ireland, and that eventually they would have a free Ireland. But like so many rebellions among the Irish, this one failed. But a lot of these Fenians that came back to Cincinnati after that failed rebellion in Canada up around Lake Erie became judges, police commissioners, postage workers, everything. So that was the biggest surprise that Cincinnatians were actually involved in invading Canada.
Talking about Cincinnati's Irish heritage here on 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition, 513-419-7100. If you are Irish or have a tale about being Irish in Cincinnati, and I'm sorry, visits to Crowley's, Haps, and the other pubs in town don't necessarily count in your experiences right now.
So, but they should.
They should.
But the Irish Irish pub at the Irish Heritage Center does.
Oh, well, and I was about to turn there about how the very extensive history for the Irish in Cincinnati, the Irish Heritage Center, has been in existence for what, just about 5 years now?
We're just starting our fifth year.
Yeah, why did you decide that Cincinnati did, after all these years, need an Irish Heritage Center?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first came to Cincinnati, I moved here from Los Angeles, California. And I went to many, many different Irish events. There's many different Irish groups all around the city and also in Covington. And I wish that we were all together in one big center. And I started doing the research with my husband, and we found that many people wanted to have an Irish center for many, many years. And we had gone up to Chicago, and there's a wonderful Irish American Heritage Center up there, which has been in existence for 28 years. And they were in an old school, and Kent and I thought, boy, wouldn't that be great if we had something like that in Cincinnati? So we got together with some of our friends from the Irish community, and we decided to start looking at buildings. And we did. We looked at over 100 buildings. And finally, we went to this building. It was the old McKinley School on Eastern Avenue, and it's in Columbia, Tusculum. And when we walked in, we went inside the gymnasium, and around the proscenium arch of the stage were Celtic knots made out of plaster. And there was a big M over the stage. Of course, I'm Maureen. Yeah. So I said to Kent, this is a sign. This is our building.
I won't say what I said. I just figured, there goes the wallet.
Right. But so, actually, when you talk about the Civil War veterans, many of them came into this area in Columbia, Tusculum, and the city of Cincinnati did a works project, and they built part of the building. There's part of the building that was built by the Civil War veterans, and we call it the red brick part of the building, and that building has really great bones. And we're very proud that the veterans came in here and they built that building, and now it's still in existence. It's lasted all those years from the 1870s.
Kent, you mentioned the pub already. What else is happening at the Irish Heritage Center? Because I know you just, last week, I believe, opened an exhibit from the National Library of Ireland about the playwright Samuel Beckett.
Correct. This is our third exhibit coming from the National Library. We had one on Yeats and one on Joyce. That is up in our tea room at the moment. We often have tea parties in there, and Girl Scouts and some of our challenged young adults will come there for etiquette lessons taught by Miss Maureen. Mm-hmm. But we also have a dance room. We host Irish dance classes and ballroom dance classes. We've got our pub. We've got a theater, which also serves as a concert hall. We have a music room. The Friendly Sons of St. Patrick Glee Club rehearses there every Sunday. And yesterday afterwards, we went in to watch that debacle of a Super Bowl. yes. And we have a nice library and a museum, start of a museum up on our second floor. We actually have a ballet school in residence on the third floor at the moment. So we're definitely an arts center, and we're not just into Irish things. We're trying to support the community, start some sport. This would be Gaelic games, mm-hmm. Which come from Ireland, but we're really trying to involve ourselves in the community and become a center for arts there.
Go ahead.
We're a big part of the arts community, and we work with Arts Wave, and we're working with Macy's Arts Wave Sampler. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this Saturday from 12 to 4, we have nonstop entertainment in all the rooms, including the Beckett exhibit will be open, and we have a pirate show about Grania, the famous Irish pirate queen, and other things going on all day long. So it's going to be a great show.
Maureen Kennedy from the Irish Cultural, Irish Heritage Center of Greater Cincinnati. She's the director. The center's co-director, Kent Covey, also in the studio here. And Kevin Grace, author of Irish Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 419-7100. And Kevin, I wanted to ask, of course, everyone knows about the St. Patrick's Day Parade, but from your book, I was amazed at how far back that tradition actually stretches here in Cincinnati.
Well, the Hibernians have been here for 150 years or more, along with the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick. But the parade has been around for over 100 years in one form or another. And at one point, it was a military-type parade that would go by St. Peter in Chains and across the river and back. And since the 1960s, the Hibernians have reinvigorated it as a community parade. Last year, they were joined by the Friendly Sons and getting it organized. So it's become a sort of an extension of Irish Cincinnati, that we have this time of year where everybody can come and proclaim their Irishness over their Germanness.
Well, I wanted to ask also about the churches. You mentioned the Irish Catholics, of course, but the Irish had quite an influence on the churches here in the city.
Well, Archbishop Purcell, who set up a lot of the parishes in Cincinnati, at one point tried to keep the Irish Catholics and the German Catholics in different parishes because of their disagreements, but also because, you know, you want to hear your own language in the homily or the sermon. So there's that long tradition as well. But also the Germans and the Irish came together at times to fight against the nativists who wanted to deny them access to jobs or public services. So there's a long cooperation there as well.
Well, you're an archivist at the University of Cincinnati, archivist librarian, very busy and looking at all the old pictures. And when you're putting together your book, Irish Cincinnati, you came across some real gems. And it seems there's a great pictorial history of the Irish here, too.
Well, there is, mainly because so many Cincinnati Irish have held on to their photos. And that book wouldn't have been possible without a tremendous amount of help from people in Cincinnati contributing images like that.
Well, I will put this out to the crowd here to ask about how Cincinnati accepted the Irish. There are other stories in other cities about how there would be conflicts. Okay, so the Germans and the Irish were kind of at odds and on certain things. But from Kevin on email, he asked, did the Irish suffer that kind of discrimination here that they experienced in those other parts of the country?
Yeah, I think they did, and I think it was more the Irish Catholics that were discriminated against than the Irish Protestants. When you have somebody like James Gamble, who is an industrialist and very wealthy, he has a little bit easier way to go, I think. But until probably 10 years after the Civil War, the Irish in Cincinnati didn't really get the recognition they deserved or the respect they deserved. And once you started having the Irish move into the professions of law and civil service and medicine and business and things like that, it became a little easier. But still, they faced a hard way. And it's mainly because because of the famine, late 1840s, 1850s, when a lot of the poor Irish came, there were still many of them who didn't speak English. And that was one of the efforts of Archbishop Purcell with his newspaper, The Catholic Telegraph. It was a way to keep the Irish here in contact with their relatives over in Ireland, but also a way of keeping them together in a unified group of people.
Kevin Grace, the author of Irish Cincinnati from Arcadia Publishing, along with Maureen Kennedy and Kent Covey here at the Cincinnati Edition studios. 513-419-7100. You can join us as well. And you were going to say before I interrupted you, Ms. Maureen?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Kevin, didn't you think that the nuns had a big influence also because they were the ones that started the hospitals like Mercy and
Good Samaritan?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I think that they made a big change in the way people felt about the Irish because they did something that was so valuable to the city. And really, like Mercy's one of the largest hospitals, I think, in the United States right now, the whole system. And that was started by the sisters. So,
yeah, Maureen's exactly right. Mm-hmm. The early Irish orders of nuns that came to Cincinnati were the ones who started high schools here. We still have those, Mercy, Macaulay. And with their work, particularly in the Civil War as nurses, they were able to come back and after the war to Cincinnati and use their influence to build hospitals like Good Sam. So, yeah, they had a tremendous influence on how the Irish were perceived.
Bill from Hyde Park is on the line. Good afternoon, Bill. You have a question for the Irish here?
I do indeed, Maureen and Kent. I was lucky enough to get a ticket to Saw Doctors a few months ago, and after enjoying a wonderful event there, I walked around the center. You've really done quite a bit, and I wanted to know if you could mention how I might get involved and help you down there. And also, the sun's out today, and it's beginning to get warm, and my thoughts are turning to spring, and I know St. Patrick's Day is coming up shortly. What is going on there, and why would I want to come down there, and what would I expect if I did?
Oh, thank you, Bill. You took the questions right out of my mouth. So, Maureen, Kent, I'll toss it up to y'all.
All right, Bill, I'm glad you asked, because we don't just celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We celebrate St. Patrick's Week, and we actually have a three-day celebration this year since the parade is on Saturday. We have what we call the Parade Day Afters. It's similar to wedding afters in Ireland, where anybody that knows the couple can come in after the family celebration is over and the dinner and so on. So we're going to be at the center from 2 o'clock on. I believe the parade starts at 12, but if you get there at 1, we're probably there anyway. And we'll have continuous entertainment, I believe, starting at 3 in 3 different places. We also, of course, have a full licensed pub. And then on the Friday, we have a great group performing. It's Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones. And they're, I'm sorry, I maybe said Friday, but it's Sunday, the 16th. They're on at 6, but the pub will be open with food. And of course, we have food and drink both on Parade Day and St. Patrick's Day itself. And again, on St. Patrick's Day, it's nonstop from afternoon until the last man standing.
You asked about getting involved. Well, memberships are what keep the doors open of this 44,000 square foot amazing building that we created an Irish Center in.
Hungry monster.
Yeah, it is. And so that's great. You could become a member. Also, we're always looking for volunteers. And currently, we're doing a capital campaign because of the roof and different problems that a building from the 1800s has going on. And also, we also invite people to become volunteers and help out on our mission to create everything that is wonderful in the Columbia Tusculum area for the Irish and for everybody who likes to have a good time.
Maureen Kennedy, founder and director of the Irish Heritage Museum, Irish Heritage Center of Greater Cincinnati, the center's co-director Kent Covey, and Kevin Grace, author of Irish Cincinnati, part of the Images of America series from Arcadia Publishing. More information about the events at the Irish Heritage Center and how you can be involved, and about Kevin's book, Irish Cincinnati, at our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. Technical director for today's show was Bruce Ellis. Producer was Pete Breitmeyer, with help from Kevin Reynolds. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories at wvxu.org. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Here and Now is next on 91.7 WVXU.